I can agree with that the older I get and the further I go, the more and more I have to look back on and can see the God's hand in all of it, you know. And they say, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, you always see better looking back on things than what you see when you're going through it. Whenever you're right in the middle of something, you can't see the forest because the trees are in the way. You're right there in the middle of it, you know, and you can't see the forest because of the trees. But then once you get past it and you get a little distance between you and that thing you were going through, you can see the big picture then. You can see the whole thing. And generally what you'll find is God's hand all along the way. You'll find His goodness and you'll find His mercy, even in the hard things and even in the valleys and the dark places. You'll get past it and you'll say, boy, God was the Lord, He was right there with me all along the way. And you know, it's like that song, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And isn't it amazing how many times we forget that though? Over and over and over. We go through trials, we go through something, or we go through some hardship, or we go through some time where the Lord is growing us and strength is helping us, you know, but we don't realize it at the time. We go through it and it's difficult and it's hard, but then we get past it and we look back and we say, boy, the Lord was in that the whole time. And we praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for getting us through and bringing us through, and thank the Lord for what all He's done in us and for us through that thing. But then a little time goes by and we start going through something else and we forget all about it. And we think, well, you know, we can think back on that stuff and see how God's moved on those things in days gone by. But for some reason, when we're in the middle of this next thing, it's like, well, God can't do it in this one. It's like we think, you know, we've seen what He's done in the past, but we just think He can't do it now. And it makes me think about those disciples when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. They had just seen the Lord feed 5,000 people. I mean, just right on the heels of that thing, man, where the Lord miraculously steps in when they've only got a little bit of money, and they said, man, this is all we've got. How are we going to feed all these people with this little bit, you know? And the Lord steps in and miraculously performs a miracle and does something that leaves them, when it's all said and done, just in awe of what the Lord has done. And just directly after that, Jesus says, get in the boat, let us go over to the other side. And suddenly they get out there and they encounter that storm that's bigger than anything they've ever seen in their life. And the Lord's asleep on the pillow in the hinder part of the ship. And they've just seen what He's done feeding those people. And suddenly their fear is taken over them and their faith is gone. The Lord says, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And boy, that's right. And see, you see the pattern in the children of Israel too in the Old Testament, you know. Lord brings them out of Egypt, delivers them, and they get in a mess, get into a tight spot, and suddenly they're thinking, boy, things were a lot better back in Egypt, weren't they, you know? And just over and over and over again, boy, they get the place where they don't think the Lord can do it. And the Lord steps in and does it again. Amen. But the older I get, the more and more we have to look back on to see God's hand in, see His mercy in it. So I thank the Lord for that. I'm going to preach out of the 116th Psalm this morning. Just finished up going through our series through the law of God, dealing with the Ten Commandments. So we're kind of praying about what direction to go next, but I've had this passage here and this thought on my heart for a few weeks now, and so I want to preach it to you, and I believe that's what the Lord have us to do this morning, and pray to be a blessing and a help. And this is a very, very simple thing, and you'll not really hear any deep thoughts this morning, probably just simple things. And I don't know, maybe we'll just wind up testifying a little bit this morning, but just want to mind the Lord want Him to be pleased with everything we do this morning. And so, Psalms chapter 116, if you found your place, I'll ask you to stand, and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to read this whole chapter, but I want you to see something first. Psalms chapter 116, verse number 1. We'll start reading there. The psalmist David says, I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. I'm going to be preaching on that thought. I love the Lord because. But he goes on to say, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for letting us be in your house. Thank you for giving us a church to come to. And thank you for all that's been done this morning so far. I thank you for the good songs that have been sung and the congregational, Lord, as we've, Lord, lifted up our voices to sing praises unto you this morning. Today that are being fined and persecuted just for doing that. So, Lord, I thank you for letting us do it. And we're here without fear of persecution or fines and or all those things, and we know those things are going on in our country and all around the world this morning. So, Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom and the opportunity to come and not be scared or concerned of what might happen, Lord, from our government or being persecuted. And so I pray that you would help us to not take that for granted, but that you would help us to get all that we can and, Lord, enjoy the blessings of the things of God and the blessings of being able to be in church this morning, Lord, freely and openly. And I thank you for the prayers that's been prayed, and I thank you for the giving that's been done this morning, and thank you for your people that are here, and Lord, the good Sunday school hour. It's all just been good, Lord, to be able to be in your house, and we thank you and praise you for it. And I ask now that you would help us as we've come to this time of preaching. Pray that you would help us to preach the Word of God in a way that would be pleasing unto you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to mind you this morning. Help us to be attentive, and Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and you would say unto us what you would have said. I know that your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish what you set out to accomplish. And so I just pray that your will would be done, Lord, as we preach the word of God, and ask that you'd set a watch over our lips. Help us not to say anything that would grieve the Spirit of God. But Lord, I want to lift up that lost soul that might be here this morning, that you would, Lord, draw them to the foot of the cross. Pray that you would put them under deep conviction and show them their lost condition. And Lord, that they might cry out to you and be saved. They'd give their heart and their life to you, be born again this morning. Lord, I pray for each of your people that are here that you would encourage us, uplift us, but reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just ask that you would do that eternal work in our hearts that only you can do. And we'll praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Preaching this morning on I love the Lord because. That's, I think, a great way to start out this psalm. I don't really know how you could start out a psalm better other than just saying I love the Lord. And it's good probably to start out a lot of things that way. It'd be good to start out our church services when we come together, meditating on and saying, well, we're here because we love the Lord. And it'd be good to start out our days that way. Wake up first thing in the morning and seek God and pray and just say, I love the Lord. And so the psalmist starts out with a pretty powerful statement, pretty good statement here. And I thank the Lord for that. And as I think about this thought, I love the Lord because, as I think about where we are in modern Christianity and in our church and where we see so many people's lives, and as I think about, I guess the condition of most self-professing Christians in this day, I think really probably what our number one problem that we face. Now, we face a lot of problems, but I think it's all rooted in the same thing. It's rooted in one problem. And I'd say that it's the problem that we just really don't love the Lord like we should. Our minds and our hearts, our affections are not set on the Lord as they should be. And I think that's a battle that we all face. It's always in the flesh. It is a struggle to constantly keep our affections and our love fixed on the Lord and the things of God. But if you think about it, everything that we do for God, everything in service to the Lord, whether it being out serving God, serving the work of God, whenever it comes to righteousness and living holy and having holiness unto the Lord in our lives, so whether it be service or whether it be sin in our life, whatever it is, none of those things are going to be right if we don't love the Lord. And if we don't love the Lord, right. I think a lot of times pastors and churches, and I've talked to a lot of them, how preachers are, we talk and we share burdens and things like that. But the ministry is probably as difficult today as it's ever been. Whenever a man can rest in the fact that you can't get people and you cannot get a church to serve God and be faithful and be all that it wants to be on your own. People have got to love the Lord. And we can preach the Bible as much as we want to, and we can witness, and we can try, and we can put things into place, and we can do all that we want to do, but if you don't love the Lord like you should, you'll never do what you should. And if I don't love the Lord like I should, I'll never do what I should. See, here's the thing, man. People do what they want to do. We all do what we want to do. And whenever we love the Lord, when our heart and our affections, our passions and our zeal is fixed on the Lord and our commitment is to the Lord, then we will do what the Lord wants us to do. And every problem, every failure, every fall, every sidestep, everything that we leave undone for the Lord, everything we don't do that we should do, everything that we do that we shouldn't do, all of those things are rooted in the fact that we just don't love the Lord like we should. That's what it all boils down to. But the psalmist here says, I love the Lord because. Now, I think that if we will get stirred and if we will meditate and we will fix our thoughts and we will concentrate and muse upon our love for the Lord. And if we will grow our love for the Lord, boy, it'll really help us this morning. Amen? And so I think that our biggest problem is loving the Lord. We need to love the Lord. Now that's a simple statement. And that statement can be overlooked. I mean, we all would agree and shake our heads. Yeah, we need to love the Lord. But we really need to love. Now, as I look at this, David wrote this psalm, but they don't know when exactly it was written. A lot of these psalms, they know when they were written. And they can pinpoint to certain parts, times in history. And like David wrote a lot of them, probably most of them. And they can pinpoint the time in his life whenever it was written. And can see kind of, as you study his life, you can see what was going on in his life when these different psalms were written. And you see that a lot of the psalms were birthed out of tremendous trial and tremendous heartache in David's life. And so I don't know when this was written, but it's pretty obvious as you read it that this too was birthed evidently out of some tremendous trial in his life. So to say what trial it was, I don't know. But hey, look at his life and you could pick any of them. David's life had many trials and many heartaches and many problems and many struggles. And yes, he was a king. And yes, he saw many victories. And yes, he saw God use him in a mighty way. But he also had many trials too. And wouldn't you say that my life and your life, whenever we are saved and living for God, is much of the same way? You know, nowhere in the Bibles or anywhere in the Bible does it ever tell Christians or God's people that the Christian life will be an easy life. I mean, it's a joy and we have peace and all those things, but never said it would be easy. But really, as we look down through the years of our saved life and our saved years, I'm sure we all could say that we've had many victories, many battles won, many great things have happened. We've seen God do good things. We've seen God meet our needs. We've seen God always be faithful. We've seen Him always do and be exactly what He said He would be. But on the same token, we've also seen trials and we've seen heartaches and we've seen difficult times. And we've seen times of anxiety, and we've seen uncertain times and uncertain days. We've seen them both just like David has. So what circumstance was it birthed out of? What tremendous trial was it birthed out of? Just look at his life and pick one. Because you can apply it to any of them, and you can apply it to any trial in our life or any victory in our life. You can apply this to the life of God's people. Because it's a life of victory, but it's also a life of trial as well. And so, he even in these trials, though, David, what I want us to understand is that he experienced God's deliverance in all of it. And that's what he writes about here. He writes, I love the Lord because. And even in the trials and even in the things that he's no doubt referencing here in this in these verses, he's seen God's deliverance in it. You know what causes us to love the Lord more? You know what will stir our hearts a lot more? It's the trials that we go through and experiencing God's deliverance through it all. We wouldn't love the Lord like we should if we were spoiled brats and everything was great and the sun was always shining and things were always good. Matter of fact, I talked before we even started preaching about the disciples seeing the Lord do that great miracle and then getting in the boat and going into that storm that they were so fearful and they were afraid of and thinking they were about to sink. Well, at the end of that thing, when the Lord stepped out and He spoke, peace be still to the winds and the waves, and there came a great calm, it caused those same men to marvel and say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him? So the things that cause us to marvel at Almighty God and the things that cause us to trust Him more and the things that cause us to love Him more are His deliverance in our hard times. That we would never had it if we didn't have the hard times. We would never had it if we didn't have the trials. We'd never see that if we didn't see these things. And those things call us to love the Lord. And I want to just point out just a few things here throughout these verses, very simple things, of David's reasons why he loves the Lord. He said, I love the Lord because. And throughout this chapter, he lists a few different things, and you could preach several of them. There's a lot more than what I have. I've got about maybe four or five here. And there's a lot more preaching that could be done, but I just want to lift a few simple ones. And I could say that the same reasons that he gives for why he loves the Lord, I could say the same thing with him. I could say, yeah, I love the Lord because of that too. Now, we know we love the Lord because He first loved us. Isn't that right? I mean, He first sought after us and He first came out. We wouldn't even be here this morning if He hadn't loved us first. Amen? But He's also done a lot for us that would cause us to love Him. So let's look at this. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, I love the Lord because He has heard my prayers. In verse number 1, He says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I tell you, the fact that he would say in verse number 1 that he's heard my voice. You know who has not heard your voice this morning? Most of the world. The vast majority of the world has never and will never hear your voice. You know who hasn't heard your voice this morning? Nobody in the White House. none of the world leaders, nobody, none of the congressmen, none of the senators, nobody of any real importance as far as the world's view, the world's terms. They talk about voting and doing all that stuff to hear your voice. Well, that's a big crock, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you think your voice is being heard, your voice is not being heard in this world. I mean, just look, less than 20 years ago, the state voted to keep the state and left without a vote. If you think your voice is being heard and considered by this world, think again, friend. They do not care about the voice of God's people. But I tell you who has heard your voice and who will hear your voice. You couldn't pick up the phone and call the White House and get the president on the phone this morning, but you can enter into the very holy of holies, into the throne room of God, and you can call out to Almighty God in your deep valley and in your dark place when the mountains are high and the valleys are low and the rivers are wide. No matter what's going on in your life, He's never been too busy to hear one of His children, and He's never been too busy and had too much going on that you and I couldn't call on Him and have our voice heard and have our petitions heard and have Him care about what we have to say, friend. You realize that even some of the people that care about you don't always care like they should about what you're saying. Isn't that true? Hey, if you're a woman and you're married to a man, you know it's true. One woman said, are men's ears just for show or do they actually work? Ain't that right? How many times you been telling your child, you know, whatever it is, sometimes even the ones that care about us don't always care like they should or are distracted and don't mean to not hear, but they just don't hear. But I tell you, the Lord is not that way. I love the Lord because He's heard my prayers and He's heard my voice. And whenever it feels like I'm praying and I'm praying to a brass ceiling, I'm not getting through and He's not hearing me. Whenever it feels like He's a million miles away, I can rest in the promise that He's heard my voice, and He is hearing my voice, and standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way, because He's always heard our voices. Amen. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice. Thank God that we can pray and we have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Amen. I think about that verse 2 where it says, not only has He heard my voice and my supplications, but He hath inclined His ear unto me. You know what that word inclined mean? When it says He's inclined His ear, that means He has bent His head to very carefully hear. Whenever you incline your ear to somebody, you are literally giving them your ear. You're handing your ear and your attention over to them, and you are inclining and bending to be sure that you get it all. Amen. It's like the way we should listen to preaching. We should hear the Word. Well, it's like the way we should listen to our spouse, and we should listen to everybody, but we just don't always do it that way. Our flesh is so weak, isn't it? But God is not that way. He has always got His ear inclined to us. And it is bent to us. It's like, I said this, it's like whenever you're driving and you're trying to find an address, or you're trying to find a business or something like that, and you're looking very carefully trying to find it, and you turn the radio down so you can see better. Is that right? Isn't that what we do? That's right. Turn it down so, hey, turn that down so I can see. You know, but it's like what I said, really what you're doing is you're helping yourself think better. You're cutting out the distractions. You're inclining your attention. You're inclining to us. Bent His head to listen to the cry of His child. It's like whenever you're in a group of people and you hear, you've got some children and all the kids are out there playing. You hear one of them crying and you bend your head real quick to see if it's yours. You can always pick yours out usually, you know. But you have to bend your head and incline your ear to see if that's your child. Isn't that right? And He's bent His head to anxiously hear from you. And I tell you, I love the Lord because He's heard my prayers. It doesn't always feel like He's heard. But the Bible says that He's always heard. He always hears. Amen.
I remember Brother Gravely preaching last year. I guess it would have been about this time last year. You know, he preached revival for us last year. And I remember him giving an illustration and talking about whenever he feels like the Lord isn't hearing him, when the devil's on his shoulder telling him, God's not listening to you. I remember him talking about that prayer journal that he keeps. And I since have started keeping a prayer journal in this way. Because Brother Gravely talked about what a blessing it was and how he lists prayer requests and people he's praying for and situations he's praying for, things he's asking God for, and how through the years that list has grown and grown and grown. And yet at the same time though, through the years as that list has grown, so have the answered prayers on that list. He said every time God answers a prayer, he goes through and he highlights that prayer request that God has answered. And so through the years, more and more requests have been answered. He said when the devil gets on his shoulder, the devil will tell him, God's not hearing you, and you're praying, but God's not answering, and you're praying, but God's not doing it. And he said what he does is he gets out that journal, and he gives it to the devil, and says, you don't have to read it all, just hit the highlights, buddy, amen? Because he's going through and he's highlighted every answered prayer, and I would encourage you to keep a record of your answered prayers, because whenever you get in your low place, the devil and the world and the flesh will tell you God's not hearing you, but he has heard our prayers and he has heard our cries and he does answer us whenever we pray. The problem is we just don't pray enough most of the time. At preachers meeting, preachers fellowship here not long ago, I preached in before I preached, Brother Howard Goolsby preached, and he was talking, preaching about the house of God and about the temple and all those things, and he was trying to do big things anymore a lot of times because we don't ask him for big things anymore. I tell you, lately I've got to asking God for some big things. And I've not seen Him do it yet. And He may not do it. And He may never do it. But He may not do it for a long time. I don't know. But I've just made up my mind by His grace. I'm just going to keep asking. I'm just going to keep asking. They say that, trying to think of that missionary's name, George Mueller. George Mueller. They say in his lifetime he had recorded over 50,000 answered prayers that he'd prayed, he had recorded. Things that he asked God for and he prayed for and he wrote it down and got to praying for it. Whenever God answered it, he had a record of it. Over 50,000 answered prayers in his life. I said, one man asked him, said, George, Brother George, how is it that you've seen God answer so many prayers in your life? His response was, I just never stopped asking. I just never quit asking. I tell you, whenever we get to asking God for things and it seems like we're getting nowhere, it seems like heaven has closed up and heaven's a million miles away, He's still hearing our prayers. Just pray on. I love the Lord because He's heard my prayers. I want to say number two very quickly. I love the Lord in verse number three because He's delivered my soul. Verse number three says, the sorrows of hell compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Boy, you see the trials and the circumstances there, don't you? Hell's got hold of him. The sorrows of death have compassed him. I don't know if maybe he's lost a loved one or if something. Of course, we know David did lose some loved ones. We know he lost his baby that died as a result of his sin. We know that he had a son that died. And we know that David faced tremendous loss in his life of family members and loved ones. So maybe it was written after that. I don't know. But he did say that the sorrows of death compassed him. And the pains of hell got a hold of him, but he says he found trouble and sorrow. But then verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. So all these things are going on in David's life. Hell's got a hold of them. Sorrows of death have compassed him. And he goes to calling on God. Lord, please deliver me. Deliver me from these things. Lord, help me. You ever got to the point, I know I have, where I don't even know how to pray. I don't even feel like I can pray. I feel like if I did pray, there's no way it'd get through. There's no way. But then I just get on my knees and I say, Lord, I don't feel like I can pray. I don't feel like I should pray. Maybe I've not been what I should be. Maybe I've not got the faith I should have. But thank God we're not praying to God on the merit system. Thank God we don't have to necessarily be what He wants us to be. And we don't have to be perfect and be necessarily right for Him to hear us. Amen. Hey, we just go on grace. And I tell you, I've been at points where I felt like I can't pray. I can't get through. I can't through this. And I just get on my knees before God and say, Lord, I'm just here in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just here and I'm just going to plead His blood and plead His case and just pray that You'd hear me because of Jesus. Amen. God never hear any of us because of us. You realize that? He would never hear any of us because of us. He hears us because of Jesus. Amen. And whenever I get to praying and saying, Lord, I'm just here because of Jesus and You shouldn't hear me and You don't need to hear me, but I don't even know how to pray. I've told the Lord that. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know how to pray right now. All I'm just asking, just help me. Just help me. That's what David said to God. He said, Lord, please deliver my soul. Just help me, Lord. But then look in verse number 8. It says, For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. All these things get a hold of him, and he goes to calling on the Lord, pouring his heart out to God, saying, Lord, please help me. Next thing you know, just a few verses later, God has delivered him. God has helped him. God has shown up. God has worked it all out. God heard him the whole time, and he delivered his soul. Well, it wouldn't matter very much. I mean, I thank the Lord, and I love the Lord because He's heard my prayer, but it wouldn't matter a whole lot if He just heard and that was it. Amen? That'd be like being a hearer of the Word and not a doer. Ain't that right? That'd be like God being a hearer of my prayers but not a worker in my prayers. And I say thank God that He's not only heard my prayers, but in my prayers when I've cried out for deliverance and I've cried out for help, He's delivered my soul. Amen? And I tell you, whenever I get in a dark place and I get in the hard times, sometimes it seems like He's not hearing and He's not doing anything. But you let a little time go by. You let a few days go by. You let God's timing and God's timetable get right where God wants it to be, and He'll do exactly what He wants to do, and He'll work out His will in my life every time. Amen? And He will in your life too. He'll deliver your soul. He'll deliver your soul. Amen? I want to say just a few things. He has delivered my soul in terms of salvation. He's delivered my soul from hell. Amen. That's enough to shout about right there. That we're not going to hell this morning. Where we should be right now. Amen. But then, so he says, For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's delivered my soul from death too. Amen. Amen. That lake of fire is the second death. He's delivered us from that, and praise God for that if we're saved, but He's also delivered our sorrow. He said, Mine eyes from tears. Amen? I tell you, there's been some dark, dark times in some people's lives and some very sorrowful times. And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I really don't know how the world even makes it without the Lord. You think about all the sorrow, and you think about all the things that are going on out there today, and you think about even us having the Lord. If we don't walk close to Him, and we don't walk near to Him, it'll get us down too. Amen? But you think to be out there with no hope in the world, and seeing the world going the way it's going, and seeing things get worse and worse, and seeing how things are happening, and how things are playing out, and seeing all the violence, and all the death, and all the uncertainty, and all those things in the world, and not having the Lord to deliver you? Boy, what a mess. It's no wonder suicide's going up. It's no wonder drug abuse is going up. It's no wonder alcohol abuse is going up. It's no wonder all these things are getting worse and worse and worse because people don't have anything to lean on. Divorce rate's going up. Do you realize, and I'm not just saying that, I mean statistically, since this whole shutdown, this virus and all this stuff started, all that stuff, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, divorce, all that stuff, it's going through the roof this year. What was it, 32%? Divorce rate up 34% between March, from March to this time this year compared to what it was March of this time last year. Up 34%. Listen, people have no deliverance. They have nothing to deliver them. I love the Lord because He's delivered my soul. He's delivered me from my sorrow. He's delivered me from my stumbles. Verse 8, last phrase, he said, and my feet from falling. I say, thank God that every time I fail, He hadn't left me down. Every time I've done wrong and every time I hadn't pleased Him like I should, hey, He's not left me there and washed His hands and thrown His hands up and say, I quit. He'll never be anything. He'll never do anything. Over and over and over He falls. Over and over and over He fails. I can't get Him to do right. I won't be able to get Him to do right. I've washed my hands and I'll move on to somebody more worthy. But God's never done that to me. And the Lord's never done that to you. Over and over and over we fall. Over and over and over we stumble. But He delivers us every time. He picks us back up, puts us back on our feet again to walk for Him again. He's heard our prayers. I love Him because He's delivered my soul. I love the Lord because He supplied my needs. Verse number 7, look at what it said. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now, would you say God's dealt bountifully with you this morning? I mean, could you look at your life and say God's dealt bountifully with you? Say, well, I don't know. I mean, we're just barely getting by. We don't have what everybody else has. Well, maybe not. But have you got shoes on your feet this morning and clothes on your back and a house to sleep in, a warm bed to sleep in, and cool air conditioning in the summer and warm heat in the winter, and got food in your cabinets and got a job to work and got a good family and a good home and got a good church, amen, and got a King James Bible in your hand and got a pastor that loves you and got your brethren that loves you and got all these things. I mean, just on and on and on we could go and how bountifully He has dealt with us, amen. I say I love the Lord because He supplied my needs. Hey, whenever you get in a low spot, you get in a tough spot, what you ought to go to meditating on is how God has always heard your prayers and how He's always delivered you out of every circumstance and how He's always supplied your needs. Amen. Out of His own fullness and grace. Every mortal does not. Many billionaires have lived and died wanting one more dollar. Wanting one more dollar. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working hard to better yourself and get gain and those. There's not anything wrong with that. But how many have given over their whole life? They've never been satisfied with anything because they've yet to get a drink of that living water. They've never tasted to see that the Lord is good. Amen. He has supplied my every need. I think about Luke 15 there with the prodigal son. Verse 22 says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I started thinking about that the other day. The first time I thought about that in regards to really all the things the father gave him that he didn't really need. I mean, he probably needed a robe, but his father gave him the best robe. And he put shoes on his feet. And did he need that ring on his finger? Why would he need a ring? That's not a need. I mean, he probably needed something to eat, but he didn't necessarily need the fatted calf. The fatted calf was the best he had to offer. That son had done him so wrong. You think of all the financial loss that father endured because of that boy. You think about all the sleepless nights and all the heartaches that father endured over that boy. And that boy could have made his way home back to the father's house. As a matter of fact, whenever he came, all he wanted to be was a servant. He said, man, if I can just go to my father, I'll just get, at least I'll have food in my belly, and I'll have good work, good solid job, and I'll have a place to sleep and food in my belly, and I'll have my needs met. So I'm just going to go home and be one of the servants. Whenever he made his way home, the father could have given him that. He could have given him just what he needed. Remember, he didn't really owe him that. It would have been benevolent to give him that, to meet his needs. I mean, really, he'd already given him his inheritance. He could have said, well, son, listen, I've already given you everything you've got coming to you. All right, you've wasted it all. You've done all that. You've blown it all. That's your problem now. You need to find you somewhere to go. That's what he could have done. Matter of fact, that would have been justice. That would have been just and right, would it not? He already got what he wanted. And he blew it all, wasted it all. Yet when he came, when he made his way home, Father not only met his needs, and he could have done that, and that would have been more than enough. Said, well, here's just enough. But no, he gave him the best robe. And he put a ring on his finger. And he was merry, and they had a big party, and they rejoiced, and all those things. You know, that's the way God is with us. Hey, listen, God's given us more than we deserve already. And most of us, when we were lost, we blew it all and wasted it all with riotous living out in the world, living for ourselves. And yet when we made our way home, He didn't give us just what we needed. He didn't just meet our bare necessities. He gave us more than enough. He's dealt bountifully with us. And look at us now, friend. Look at the good homes that we've got, the good families we've got, and the good church that we've got. And look at all the things God has done in us. Because we just simply made our way home to the Father. He's dealt bountifully with us. I love the Lord because He's met my needs, supplied my needs. But then, last of all, I love the Lord because He set me free. Verse 16, He said, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. It's kind of interesting whenever you read that he says he's a servant. Matter of fact, he says it twice. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. So he tells the Lord, I'm thy servant twice. But then he turns right around and said, thou hast loosed my bonds. You know, a lot of servants in the Bible days, they were not free from bonds. They were more like slaves, a lot of them. It sounds kind of contradictory to say that I'm a servant, but then also I've been set free at the same time. But you know, that's the way the Lord's done for us. He has drawn us with cords of love. He's drawn us with cords of love and cords of care and cords of compassion. He has bound our heart to Him. But at the same time, He set us free from the world. He set us free from the lust of the flesh. He set us free from sin. Let us set us free from the care. You realize you and I don't have to waste our life investing our life in things that don't matter. You realize that? A lot of people do. A lot of self-professing Christians do. But they don't have to. They can have something better. You and I can have something better. Me and Brother Thomas wrote the other night about the call of the Lord, you know, being called to do certain things. You know, we've kind of twisted that thing a little bit and made it out to where whenever God calls somebody, that it's like some big miraculous happenstance that happens in life, where they see some vision where God steps out in the clouds and says, I have called thee to preach the gospel. Or I have called thee to do this, that. And people are waiting for some type of big event or some big feeling in their hearts, you know, where God, you know, calls them into some type of ministry or calls them to do something. And so they're either doing one or two things. They're either not serving the Lord because they've never had that. That's never happened to them. Or they're using that as an excuse not to serve the Lord. Well, I'm not serving the Lord, but He's never called me either. Can I help you with something? God's called every one of us. He didn't say, go ye preachers, go ye God called preachers into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go ye. In the language of the King James Bible is very specific. Those ye's and you's are there for a reason. The these and the thou's are singular. If I say go thee, I'm talking just to Brother Ernest. If I say go ye, I'm talking to everybody. And He didn't say, go ye God called preachers. And didn't say, go ye, God called missionaries. He said, go ye, just go ye, go every one of you. One man said, commit your life to serving God and preaching the gospel and going to the mission field. Commit your life to full-time Christian service and ministry and make God tell you to go be a doctor. Commit your life to serving God full time, giving it everything you've got, doing everything you can for the Lord, and make God tell you to do something different. Don't commit your life to the world and heaping up great riches and having a great career here and make God tell you to go preach the gospel. He's already told us to preach the gospel. We got that thing turned around, man. We need to get committed to the Lord first. Committed to the gospel ministry first, and everything else be secondary. We've got that thing flipped around where we're committed to the world and committed to this life, where everybody's got too much to live for, nothing to die for. And then the gospel is secondary. Like it's just what we do when we got time for it. When I'm not working or whenever I got a little extra time, that's when I do that. We've got that thing backwards. We should seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. We've got that thing turned around. We're seeking first this life and the cares of this life and hoping that God will add all the spiritual blessings to us. We've got it backwards, man. Listen, you young ones especially, commit now. Say, I'm going to full-time ministry. I'm going to serve God with every day, every hour. I tell you, I'm going to do something for God and commit your heart, commit your life to God. You parents, commit your family to God. Say, we're going to give it to God. And make God tell you to do something else. If God don't want you doing that, make Him move you somewhere else. But commit your life to the gospel and the ministry and the work of God first. And then see if God steps in and moves you somewhere else. Don't sit around waiting for some big miraculous call like God's got to step in and give you some vision or give you something or you know, move in your heart some crazy, bizarre, weird way and give you this, you know, firework type of call. Just serve God. If you're saved, you've already been called. Amen. See, we've been set free from this world. We don't have to heap up treasures in this life just to cross over and have nothing over there. That's what's happening to a lot of people. I believe there are a lot of saved people that are heaping up treasures in this life only to step over into eternity and stand before God with absolutely nothing to show. Nothing to show. And when Jesus is there and we see Him in all His glory, we see those nail-scarred hands, and we see that pierced side, and we see that blood that He shed on that mercy seat. We see all these things in their fullness. We're looking through a glass darkly right now. We can't understand it all right now. We take a lot of things by faith, and we believe a lot of things by faith now. But when we get over there and we see it in all of its fullness, it's going to be a sad day when a lot of us have nothing to show. Or very little to show. I'm trying to think. I think it's either Brother Ernest or Brother Raymond here always prays. I think it's Brother Raymond always prays, Lord, help us to live like we wish we had when we stand before You. See, the Lord, He set us free from the world. He set us free from sin and doubt and fear and the cares of this world. He has set us at liberty to serve Him. And has promised to meet our needs when we do. Serving God, you see, it doesn't have to be a drag. It doesn't have to be a bore. It doesn't have to be a drag. I tell you, we talk about going out and doing public ministry and doing something as simple as holding a sign, holding a scripture sign. That is so simple. And sometimes I tell the Lord, whenever I'm out there, Lord, this is so simple. This is so small and compared to what You've done, but please just bless it. Just take this small, simple thing I'm doing and bless it, you know. You realize you can go stand on the street and you could hold a scripture sign like this. And nobody would ever even have to see your face and ever even know it was you. A lot of people are so scared. I can't go out there. Somebody I know might see me. Well, just hold the sign up here like this. You know, if this is a scripture sign here, just hold it like this. I don't want to dump all your stuff out, brother. Just hold it like this and nobody will ever see you. You know, that's such a small thing, but I tell you something. I love every minute that I'm out there. It feels so, my flesh fights it so hard. Every time I go knock on a door, invite somebody to church or give flesh fights, but nothing feels better than when I've actually stepped in on faith and just done it anyways. But it feels good. I've never done anything for the Lord that I regretted. I've done a lot of things for the world, and I've left a lot of things undone for God that I regretted not doing. But I've never actually done something for God that I regretted. See, the Christian life don't have to be a drag. The Lord will bless us when we serve Him. He'll fill us with joy and cause us to enjoy serving Him whenever we do. There will be some dark times, but it don't have to be a drag. I told you this before, I'll tell you again. The word hard, used 46 times in your King James Bible. The word hard. And not one time is it ever referring to the Christian life. Not one time is it ever referencing living for God. Never says it's hard one time. It does say that the way of the transgressor is hard. But it never says that living for God is hard. Why? Because He set us free. He set us free to live for Him. I want to say this morning, I love the Lord because He's heard my prayers, because He's delivered my soul, because He's supplied my needs, because He set me free. Why do you love the Lord today? This is David's list. Now, I can identify with all of them. Every one of them I can identify and say yay and amen to every one of them. But that's David's list. Listen to me. You're going to have to get your own list. We're going to have to get our own list. We're going to have to get our own list so that whenever we're in our dark place and we don't feel like serving God, we don't feel like doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, you're not always going to feel like it. But whenever you love the Lord, you will do it anyways, even when you don't feel like it. You and me, we need to get our own list of reasons why we love the Lord. That way we can say, I love the Lord because of this. I love the Lord because He's done this in my life. I love the Lord because He's done that in my life. I love the Lord, and I've got a list I can go down and say, I love the Lord because. You know what calls you and me to serve God and be what He wants us to be? Loving Him like we're supposed to. You know what Jesus said? He said, if ye love me, keep my... Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Bernard's going to get a song ready. We're going to have time of invitation. Maybe God's dealt with your heart. Maybe you just need to come pray and just tell the Lord you love Him. Maybe you need to come pray and tell the Lord that you're sorry for not loving Him like you should. I don't know what it is or what the need is. I know God does, though. I know the Spirit of God does. And I believe He told me to preach this message. And so I've just tried to please Him. But I pray that we'd all do what He'd have us to do. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with the Word. Bless now on the altar call. Do in our hearts what You would have done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.